One of the things that I decided to talk about was one theme within the whole complexity of the abduction phenomenon, and that is the fact that there have been, you know, a number of cases where airplanes have apparently been affected in the air and sometimes made to disappear, or there are cases, I have three cases, where three private pilots, these separate cases, were flying their planes, small private planes, and ended up being in the air for something like 2 hours or an hour longer than they had fuel for, and they simply could not account for what had happened to them. One of them was encountering in daylight a huge UFO. One of the other pilots, when he landed, was informed that officials had been searching for his plane because he hadn't followed the flight plan. It was so late. And he later, and he's a physician, understood memories that connected this with an abduction, as if the entire plane had been taken and then put back in the sky with enough fuel to land. This, of course, is a kind of a very famous situation when we think of that Fred Valentich, the pilot who disappeared, plane and all.
That's the Australian, right? Yeah.
That was 1978, and he was last heard on the radio describing this craft that was above his plane, and his engine was choking out. And he said, it is definitely not an aircraft. And the plane was never found. There was never any wreckage, oil slick. There was a massive search. And Valentich and the plane has never turned up. And there's another case that I went into, which happened in 1953, Otis Air Force Base on Cape Cod, where an interceptor was sent up to actually intercept and chase away, I suppose, a UFO. And at 1,500 feet, the plane lost all electrical power, and the pilot ordered an evacuation, ejection, to the radar operator. The canopy was blown off, of course, when they eject, and he came down by parachute, and the plane was never found, nor was the radar operator, and the pilot and the canopy, which landed on the ground, the pilot was okay, are the only things that were left from this. So we have a whole history. There are many other cases. A lot of these we can't really present much evidence to support what happened. But the ones that we don't have much evidence for are certainly extremely curious when we look into it, because they do fit the patterns of these car lifting cases or automobile or airplane lifting cases. The coin helicopter incident over Ohio, when the object came right, the UFO came right at the helicopter, the frightened pilot put it in dive. And this whole thing was seen from the ground by people in the automobile. And when the object flew away, it was just a matter of a minute or two, the pilot checked the altitude and found that his helicopter had gone up 2,000 feet instead of, even though the controls were in a dive, as if the thing had been somehow lifted. So the power of the UFO phenomenon over our simple little airplanes and cars and so on seems to be extraordinary.
And you know, Bud, with witness accounts or just even the pilot's account, nobody would come back and concoct a story like that.
No, absolutely not. And one of the things that I raised, because it is just a mystery, we have absolutely no reason to connect this with UFOs whatsoever. But it is a mystery, and that is, of course, the ongoing mystery of what happened to Steve Fawcett.
Yes, absolutely.
A pilot who was in a private plane, an extremely experienced pilot, it had a beacon, a signal piece of equipment for safety built in, so if the plane crashed or something, it would send off the signal. There was a massive search over a relatively small area where he had we knew he was known to have flown, and they found no wreckage and nothing and no word from him. And so there may be some very logical explanation, which we don't understand. Dr. Lear has presented one possibility that he strayed too close to Area 51 and was shot down.
And then they realized who he was, and they're embarrassed to say anything or something.
Yeah, that's what he said, but there's still going to be wreckage somewhere. If a plane is hit. But at any rate, there's no evidence for that either. So we have one way or the other, we have a massive mystery. So this is just one more of what I consider a particular subgroup of cases, patterns. And that's one of the themes that I went into during my talk.
Gosh, it's just amazing, Bud. And it just never seems to stop. It's almost as if whatever is doing this, they're getting more and more aggressive.
Right. Well, you know, the famous case over Iran in 1976, which the Defense Intelligence Agency reported in a long document, when two of the Shahs, he was running Iran at the time, the Shah's Air Force intercepted a very large UFO, and when they got ready to fire the rockets at it, they were ordered to, they lost all power, and the planes were headed for a crash until the power came back on again. But this is something, the report was, according to the documents we have, the report was sent to the White House, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the CIA, and so forth. So here we have another one of these signs that the UFO has abilities to control what aircraft do and how they can escape and how the UFO can protect itself against them.
But, you know, with the abduction cases that have been ongoing and publicized really since the Barney and Betty Hill cases, are they, you know, short-term abduction cases? Are they long-term? What do you think?
Well, I think the cases are mostly short-term, but I did go into one incident which I actually would rather not talk about on the air because for a lot of reasons, but as a young man I have interviewed, and he was definitely missing for a period of a year and a half, and there are a lot of indications that he has no idea where he was for that length of time, and there are a lot of indications that this may have been a long-term abduction. These are cases where we're making some guesses. We cannot defend them with any kind of serious evidence, but we do have to consider them. In the past, most abduction cases, and practically all of the mass of them, have lasted, you know, an hour, 2 hours, that sort of thing, although I have a few that lasted a couple of days, and of course, in the Travis Walton case, it was a five-day abduction. But there are these little subgroups within the basic pattern which are extremely interesting. And one other thing I should mention is that Dr. Don Dunderry, who is a psychologist, a research psychologist at McGill University, came down from Montreal this past weekend so we could confer and he could come to the seminar and so forth. But he has been helping me with an examination of my collection of alien symbols that something like 45 different people have described to me as things they saw inside a UFO. And these are incredibly similar. And some kinds of psychological experiments have been done on a control group who were asked to come up with alien symbols that they would invent, and they are all over the map, and they have no similarity in the control group to these highly similar symbols, which have never been made public for the reason that they give me a way to help support the veracity of individual abductees I'm working with.